Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish you all a very good morning. How are you? Have you come across this question today? I would be interested to know what you answered. Fine? Fine. It goes like this. Maybe even if you didn't sleep well last night, how are you doing? I am fine. I once answered, how are you? Not good. I found the reaction interesting. The other person didn't even notice, but just kept talking about the bad weather and all. It irritated me, because the question, how are you, is actually a very personal and intimate question. In the encounter between two people, it opens a space for encounter and for depth. Only it usually doesn't come to that at all. I have my known friend Helge for quite a while. Until recently, we worked together. Helge, his name, was editor of the missionary press of the Protestant missionary organizations in Germany. Last year, he turned 62 years old. He has aged many years since he was diagnosed with the first cancer a few years ago. He had lost his wife to the same disease only a few years ago. This loss has hit him hard. But Helge pulled himself together and even managed to start a new career in a new city with a new task. But then, diagnosis cancer. Faith, as Helge learns, is the only force that can give him any kind of support. So he does not seek solitude in hopelessness, but wants to work, wants to hope, wants to live. To the question, how are you? Helge has a standard answer. I am alive. This answer impressed and occupied me. What does it mean? I am alive. Helge's illness is progressing. After the first chemotherapy follows a second one. He has no strength left to hope. The last time we met, I could feel it very clearly. He capitulates. He who fought and had such high hopes despite many blows of fate. There is one unspoken question in the room. What is the meaning of my own life? What is good life? I live. Helge's answer still seems strange to me. Unusual, but honest. How else could one answer the how are you question? I breathe, I eat, I drink, I sleep. That is life. Of course it's not life yet, but what is good life? For me, sisters and brothers, the good life is about quality of life. That I'm satisfied and feel good. I can have a full schedule, 8 hours of work a day and more, many other activities. There's a journey, there's volunteering, here's an exhibition, a concert, and so on and so on. Am I satisfied? Does my life have meaning? Does it deserve the predicate fulfilled life? I live. My friend Helge comes to my mind again. When people die, torn from the middle of life, it makes me think. What exactly is life? In the Bible, the term occurs countless times and in different meanings. Life, that is the most natural and obvious thing. I am there so and so many years, days, hours, eating, drinking, working, I am alive. But the Bible also knows that is not all. Being alive is one thing, but am I already in life? Does my life have a quality beyond the quantity, beyond the numbers of my years, my working hours, and my heartbeats? This is a quality of life that Jesus is always talking about in these speeches, for example, in John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal, to slaughter, and to kill. I have come that they may have life, life in abundance." Life in all its fullness, what does that mean? These are the questions we have been pursuing in my office at the Association of Protestant Churches and Missions in Germany. It's a EMW, for which I work as a theological consultant. The occasion was a document working together towards life, which the World Council of Churches adopted at the 2013 assembly in Korea in Busan as a so-called new mission statement. At the heart of the declaration is the Spirit of God, which is the breath of life, is the spirit of God's mission, creating life and bringing people together. The Spirit of God wants to liberate all people and give them a share in the fullness of life promised by Jesus Christ. This is God's mission, which is for all people, and he calls us to accompany him in his mission, life for all people in fullness. The promise of Jesus Christ for life in fullness awakens expectations in people. Expectations that are very different and have cultural imprints of the good life. We at EMW turn to our partners and ask them what good life, a life in abundance, means for them. And we have received answers, reports, and stories. We received stories from Latin America about the so-called Bon Vivir, a concept of life that puts reunification at the beginning of a good life. Bon Vivir implies the appreciation of immaterial goods. It's strictly oriented towards community-oriented action and sees nature as a subject to be protected. In Korea, good life means, first of all, a life of peace and reconciliation in the face of the history of the Korean people. But here too, there is a concept of life for a fulfilled life. A core concept for this is the term sang-seng. Sang means mutual and seng means life. This word refers to the inescapable inner connection of all living things. Everything is connected with everything. This concept includes interrelatedness and interconnectedness. It has to do with a network of relationship between people, nature, and things, and mutual life-oriented dependence and balance. This concept of living together involves the whole of creation, but it is also helpful in view of the relationship between North and South Korea, which is overshadowed by trauma. The violence we use strikes back at us. Love multiplies where we share it. With every harm we inflict on the living, we harm ourselves. And we received reports from Indonesia, from India, from Bangladesh, Oceania, and many other countries, but because of time, I cannot report here. From Japan, unfortunately, we have not received any report. What does good and fulfilled life means in Japan? Are there traditional concepts? I'm curious to hear more from you about that. I'm coming back to my own context, the German context. The theologian Dorothee Söller confronts life in abundance with life in scarcity. In a plea against money and violence, she states that for about 2/3 of the human family, there is no life in its fullness, because they live in poverty, naked, economically caused impoverishment on the border of death. They are hungry, they are without shelter, they have no schools and no medicine for their children, no clean water to drink, no work. The struggle for survival destroys the life in its fullness. The shalom of God, of which the Bible speaks, poverty destroys this life promised to all. Poverty is still an issue that challenges us, that we look beyond our own horizons. We do not live alone. We are people connected to other people today more than ever. So we cannot remain indifferent to the fact that so many lack the necessities of life, not only in the so-called developing countries, also in Germany. External poverty is one thing. There is the poverty of life that looks as if people are doing well, as if they have everything they need. In reality, there is nothing behind the facades, just emptiness. According to Dorothy Söller, outer poverty and inner emptiness are the forces that destroy our world. What does it mean for me, for our world? Above all, the feeling grows in me that I cannot do anything myself. Who am I in the gear of this world? What am I here for? These are questions that have been asked generations before me, questions that I ask myself again and again, and that the next generation will also ask. But it is not enough just to ask the questions, it also needs answers, solutions, or at least partial solutions. A song has accompanied me for a long time in thinking about the question of what I can do. In German it's Hilfe meines Lebens, dass ich nicht vergebens, dass ich nicht vergebens hier auf Erden bin. In English it says Help Lord of my life, that I may not be here on earth in vain. Help Lord of my life speaks from the bottom of my heart, because that's what I want too. To discover my own life's work and not to be here on earth in vain, not to harm my neighbor, not to live as an egoist with blindness on, but to help where I can. How does that work? When people help each other and take care for each other, it might be a start of the so-called life in abundance. But of course, it's only a start. There could be more. It's not enough. It is not far too full enough. To do the best and hope without illusion, making the world a better place, that might be the goal for the abundance life. The evangelist John confronts Jesus with a thief in his gospel. The thief robs others of what they need for their life. Jesus, on the other hand, brings life. The gospel describes exactly what this means in a picture. Jesus, the good shepherd. I see the image that Psalm 23, the psalm of the good shepherd, evokes. No shortage, green pastures, fresh water, astringent soul, a path on a straight road. Here it is, the good life, and it remains good even when it goes through the valley of darkness, because the God Shepherd is there. Let me put it to you this way. Someone who cares takes responsibility. Someone who takes the attitude of Jesus, who makes sure that the quality of life increases, your own and that of my fellow human beings. The question of what fulfilled life means for me personally is still challenging me. And I realize that there is not the one only answer. It depends on the situation. Fulfilled life for me, this is sometimes a state, a moment, the flow, the intensive work in a row, and nothing can distract me. When I'm finished at some point with writing or with tidying up, and suddenly a good feeling really flows through me. That's when I'm moved in my innermost being. But much more often it is a situation in experience. I'm very grateful that as a theological consultant for the region Asia and Oceania, I can travel to these regions several times a year. And I'm happy to come to Japan for the first time. It is always very special to feel the ecumenical spirit in the visits and conversations of the churches and partner organization, which unites us as sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ, despite all our differences in language, culture, and history. It's a gift that fulfills me. Fulfilled life, and very simple, can also be a WhatsApp from my wife or daughter who say to me, "Hey, we think of you, you are important to us." Or even just a piece of Black Forest cake, just sit there, a good cup of coffee, a piece of cake, let life be good. Feeling that there is a quality that comes from the deep and leads into the deep. A fulfilled life, this does not exist for me alone, but only in my relationship with others. Fulfilled life, these are the moments in which the quality of life flashes. Great moments of life, but also everyday ones. Moments in which I feel my life is fulfilled, my life has meaning, because it is permeated by the life of the one we call God. That is a fulfilled life. Moments in which I certainly know that I'm held and carried, that my life is not meaningless, that I am part of something bigger, something really big. The fulfilled life that Jesus promises is the life in which something of God appears here and now, and in the midst of all stress, in all questions, in my perplexity, in my reflection. In the midst of all this, it flashes and I realize God is present. May our good God, our God of peace and mercy, bless all of us with a life in abundance. Amen.